everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Breaking Barriers Now. My guest today is Teresa Turk, and she hails from Pennsylvania. Teresa, welcome. I'm so glad that you were able to make it today.
Hi, Jenny. Me too. It's been a long time in the making, so I'm glad we
for
finally...
For sure. Well, everything is perfect in God's timing, right? Like, it all comes together when it's supposed to. For anybody who doesn't know, I'm your host, Jody Watkins. I've been doing this podcast here for a little bit. Fail forward fast, figured out what didn't work, now figuring out what does work. And I've had some amazing guests. And I truly believe that this conversation is going to be amazing as well. And it's going to be something that probably a lot of people are going to be able to relate to, including myself. When I told Teresa earlier, what she wrote, as far as, you know, the story that she wanted to tell, I said, oh, I could tell that story too. You know, it's, and it, of course, our stories, you know, the details of the stories are probably going to be a little bit different, but as far as the story in itself, you know, this is definitely something that I can't wait to hear about. So just to start everything off, I usually ask a little bit about kind of your upbringing. You know, what were some of the things, the barriers that you had to break in order to get where you are today? So we can just kind of start there.
Yeah, of course. So that's a loaded question, right?
I know. You know what? And when I ask that question to everybody, I'm like, and then you have to tell the story in under 40 minutes. No. Right. It is. It really is. And I get the same where it's like, you know, tell me about your upbringing. I'm like, whew, where do I start?
Right. Exactly.
So I actually had to build a timeline for mine.
That's a good thing to do. But so I will say, some of the, sorry, my computer is totally acting up. Some of the big things I will say, I'm going to put my glasses on.
It's all good.
Yeah.
We have the audio too. And, you know, this will definitely be good for the audio.
Okay. Sorry. My computer. Yeah.
No worries. You're good. Hey, I always tell people, I'm like, hey, technology is great when it works.
Okay. So let's get into my barriers as a kid. So, you know, growing up in a family in a world that was just kind of full of addiction and chaos and dysfunction, you find a way to survive in any means possible, and how to kind of protect yourself when you're not getting that protection from your caregiver. So I would say one of the biggest barriers that I had to break that carried from my childhood to today is being a people pleaser. That was definitely, that was one of the biggest, like I felt in order to survive my childhood, I had to take care of everybody else and make sure everybody else's needs were met and that they were okay. Yeah. And I couldn't, you know, worry about myself and what I needed, because that would be drawing attention to myself. And, you know, heaven forbid that should happen, because, you know, I avoided chaos and conflict at all costs, because it was part of my life and it was such a trigger for me that, you know, even going into my teen years, early adult, into adulthood, I tried to avoid it any way I could. And for me, I learned the behaviors that in order to avoid that, you don't bring attention to yourself. You concern yourself with, you know, how to fix other people, how to make sure that they're okay and that they're taken care of. Mm-hmm. So that was probably one of the biggest changes and shifts that I had to make in my adult life in order to, you know, start actually living my life instead of just trying to, you know, survive it.
Yeah. And I can definitely relate to that. And I think it's interesting, because you mentioned the way you were brought up and having to take care of everyone else. And I've had guests in the past that talked about a similar, you know, kind of upbringing. And I've dealt with the same thing where it's like, you know, you're taking care of the others. I am grateful that I was an only child. So I was supposed to have a sister, but then that She ended up, my mom ended up losing the child. And so it was just me, but in the end that actually was better. I was better off because I would have been taking care of another child at that point. And so I can definitely relate to that. And I think it's interesting how we focus so much on feel like you said, fixing, right? Because we can't truly fix anyone else, but we get into this mode of thinking that we can because we're so used to having to fix the situations when we're growing up. And so everything that you're saying about like the people pleasing and, you know, doing focusing on everyone else's needs, because then we're taught, I don't know about you, but I know I've been taught and other people have talked about this too, where we get taught to, you know, we can't just take care of ourselves because that's selfish.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever you, I grew up with a mother who was very manipulative and felt like the world was like out to get her. And so she was somebody that, you know, needed attention, craved attention, and when she didn't get it, you know, all hell would break loose, right? Like she needed to, she just needed to kind of be the center. And if anybody kind of took away from that, like you were definitely made to feel shame and guilt for that. So it was a very early learned behavior to keep myself small.
Did you have any siblings growing up? Well, siblings now, I should say.
Yeah, I
Do
do.
you have any siblings?
I have a brother. There's 7 years between us. And like our experiences in life were very different. He has a very different view of our mother. We have different fathers. He has a very different view of our mother because there was a point where like when his parents, well, my mother and his father divorced, he went and lived with his dad. So there was a big gap where, you know, he wasn't with her full time. So whenever he did come, it was just a very different experience that he had with her versus what I had with her because, you know, I was the one that was there to take the brunt of everything. And when he was there, he got the attention and the love and the coddling because he was only there on like a part-time basis. So our childhood experiences with our mother were very, very different.
Did that create, and this might be a little bit personal, so if you don't desire to answer it, that's
I'm an
fine.
open book.
Okay. because I'm just curious, because that would have been the situation exactly with my sister and I. If she had, you know, if she had been born, I would have been 7 years older. We had different fathers, you know, it would have been a different upbringing, things like that. So I'm just curious, like, did you resent your brother at all for that?
I don't think that it was a matter of me resenting him. Maybe when I was younger, like I'm sure I probably did. And I don't know about you or anybody else that has experienced, you know, like childhood trauma, but there is so much of my childhood that I have repressed and tried to forget that my memories are super sketchy, right? Like my husband, it's hilarious because my husband has like the mind of an elephant and can remember the minute details of his life. And, you know, he finds it like he's of course learned over the years that, you know, why I am like I am. But,
Yeah, same here.
yeah, it's so like I have such a hard time remembering and recalling memories and things. And he can remember like everything. So I would say that there was probably a time when we were younger that I'm sure I probably did have moments of resentment. Especially like when he would come over on the weekends and like she would just be like a completely different person. And then the minute he would leave, it would go right back to, you know, my normal reality. But I would say, like, as I got older and like she remarried and like he didn't at the time like get along with the new stepdad, and I didn't either so much. But I was at a point in my life then where I had moved out, you know, I was married. And I kind of just tried to be like a caretaker to him, I guess, and tried to, you know, make sure he was okay. And there was a time where my husband and I had to let him come and live with us because he was actually living with her at the time, and you know,
Oh,
things
wow.
blew up. And but then, you know, a few years down the road from there, he got a little bit older, and there was this whole situation where him and I ended up stopped talking. And it was, you know, it was because of her and things that she did and just this whole situation. But thankfully we reconnected probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And now it's just and kind of like an unspoken rule where we just don't talk about her because she's no longer in my life, but she is in his. And you know, I don't want to mess with the relationship that we're trying to reestablish. So it's just easier to avoid the topic of her.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, because that's a little bit of your childhood. Let's transition into kind of adulthood, because you said, you know, you got married and things like that. So how did some of the things that you encountered in your childhood pour over into your marriage? Because I mean, it usually does, right? It's like, especially if that other person doesn't grow up like we did, you know, how did that
Right.
end up pouring over in your life?
Yeah, it was very bizarre because my husband grew up in this amazing household. Like his parents were, you know, just incredible and loving. And he had two siblings. And like they just grew up in this happy, loving household, you know? And I mean, not to say that, you know, there's not every family problems, but it was just such a contrast to what I grew up with. And you know, I grew up with, you know, keeping things to myself and you know, not fully expressing what I needed or what I wanted, and you know, kind of trying to hide. And it's very hard to transition out of that when you find somebody who truly and deeply loves you unconditionally, and you've never had that before. And holy shit, what do I do with this? Like you almost don't know how to act or how to respond to that. And you know, it's funny because growing up, like my dream for myself was not like to be this super powerful like career person or have this big, you know, fancy job or all of that. Like my dream growing up was to have a loving family, to have this safe, you know, a spouse that loves me, to have children that I could, you know, be the mother to them that I never received. And like, so that was like my big dream as a kid. And I got it. And then I like didn't know how to accept it and didn't know how to embrace it. And, you know, so I definitely like overcompensated a lot for my childhood through my children by, you know, spoiling them ridiculously. You know, I was probably like the helicopter parent because I wanted to just, you know, make sure that they were safe and cared for and okay. And so, you know, all of that, but also, you know, trying to do everything for them, anything that they wanted at any given time. And, you know, and it's nothing on them. Like they never, you know, like my husband was never one that like I had to do this. You know, like I get up with my husband every single morning. I would make him breakfast, I would pack his lunch, there would be dinner on the table, you know, dinner when he got home, the house was taken. Like I did all that. It was never an expectation that was put on me by him. Never. And because he's always been a very involved parent and spouse, like always helping out, like doing all of the things. Those were expectations that I put on myself because I felt that I needed to do that in order to maintain that love that he was giving me or that my children were showing me. Because that was just a learned behavior from my childhood. And it took a very long time to overcome that and realize that they love me no matter what. Like, it's not conditional based upon what I give them.
Wow. So how many children do you have?
I have two.
Okay. What are their ages?
So our son is, Lord help me, he's going to be 25 this year.
Oh my goodness, they're grown.
They are grown. Yeah, my children are grown. So our son will be 25 this year and our daughter will be 20. So we
Oh my
have
goodness.
recently become empty nesters and it's been an experience.
I bet. I bet. We haven't encountered that yet, but oof, I'll be coming to you for advice when
Yeah,
it
no,
comes.
definitely. It's good. It's really good, but it's also weird, right? Like our kids were very involved in sports like all their lives, and we were always go, like nonstop. And now we have like all this time, and I'm like, we're like, what are you doing
That's so funny. So when was kind of your, 'cause okay, so your kids are grown and you were always kind of going the extra mile and that pressure that we put on ourselves, right?
Yeah.
When was kind of your aha moment? Like, when did you finally get to a point where I mean, I know for me, I basically hit a brick wall and had to calm down. Because I did see and hear that you were majorly depressed and you had to overcome some of those things. So I feel like that's probably going to be something that we can relate to each other on too, because that's kind of what happened with me as well.
Yeah.
But when did that start occurring for you?
So it was like mid to late 30s. Our daughter was going, and I say mid to late 30s that I was actually like diagnosed. When I look back on it, I feel like that I've always carried anxiety with me. Like it's always been there. And I've always had, moments of depression. But again, that would have, entailed me bringing attention to myself. So it was never brought up and it was just like underlying and undiagnosed. So in my late 30s, probably mid to late 30s, it really kind of started like intensifying. And I had moments probably even earlier on where like I knew something was wrong, but I guess I just didn't want to admit that it was depression because like I got what I wanted. Right? Like I had this amazing husband and these two beautiful, healthy children, and I had this, loving family that I had always wanted. So why in the world would I be depressed? Or like that's the story that I told myself. Like, you can't be depressed. You can't admit this to anybody because you have everything you always wanted. So I just pushed it down, pushed it aside, kind of powered through, dealt with it. And then we like went through a period where we were like our daughter was having some issues with bullying and cyberbullying and stuff. And, we went through this whole period of, excuse me, we went through this whole period of like having to pull her out of school and we did homeschooling. Like it was just this whole horrible mess that we dealt with. And it was so stressful on both of us. And, and my concern, of course, at the time was just her and like making sure she was okay and had what she needed. And once we kind of got through that period and things settled down and like everything was okay with her, I think that's when I hit my wall. Like that was almost like my breaking point of this is too much. And my body kind of like shut down. And, like you and I were talking before we went live was, like I work still like a regular job. I have a 9-to-5. I do a customer service type role. And my manager was listening to one of my calls and pulled me into a meeting and was like, "What's going on with you?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? I'm fine. Like nothing. What's up?" He's like, "No, I've been listening to your calls for years. Like something's changed. Like you're different. Your voice is different. How you're behave. Like it's diff. What's going on?" And that was the moment where I was like, wow, like I'm not as ninja as I thought at hiding myself, right? What I'm actually feeling and going through is coming through. Like I thought I had mad ninja skills, right? Like where I could fool everybody into thinking I'm fine. And I couldn't. So that was actually the start of it. That was the catalyst of my healing because, they provided me with some resources for some therapy. I took some time off. You know, finally went to a therapist, finally seen, a medical provider to give me some prescription meds, and I finally started to balance out and get myself on my healing journey.
Okay. That was my next question. Like, what were the steps that you started taking after that? So you pretty much already answered that. But, and I'm just gonna speak from kind of my point of view. It was very difficult for me to ask for help. What did that look like for you? Was it hard to admit like there was something wrong?
It was literally one of the hardest things I've ever done in my
Yeah.
life, was to admit that there was something wrong.
Yeah.
Because, to me, then it felt like I failed.
Yeah.
It felt like how could this be? Like, I've gotten what I want. I achieved the dream that I had since childhood, and yet you're still not happy with it. Like, what is wrong with you? And
Yeah.
then I was worried about how it was going to, reflect and impact on my family, and what it was going to do to them, and how they were going to feel about it. And I had such fear that they would almost like, I don't know, I don't want to say like take it personal, like that it
Yeah.
was a reflection of them, but like I had this massive fear around admitting that, I was depressed and that my anxiety was through the roof and I was having panic attacks and I was having suicidal thoughts,
Yeah.
and I was really worried how it was going to impact them.
So back to the
And
people pleasing.
that's my people pleasing,
Yeah.
right? Yeah, I was
Yeah.
super, I wasn't concerned with at the beginning, I wasn't concerned with you need this. Like, this is
Right.
going to help you. Like, this will actually make it better for everybody. I was so worried about how they were going to think of me, how it was going to affect them. Like, I just had such a fear of how it was going to impact others that it almost stopped me from taking that step.
Yeah. That's
But
so
then,
interesting.
it is. But, when I got to the point of Googling how to commit suicide so my family still gets the insurance money,
Wow.
like that's when, I was finally like, okay, like this has gone far enough. It's
Right.
gone on long enough. Like, they literally love you no matter what. You have
Yes.
to learn to love yourself. And
Yes.
that was the problem. Like, I did not love myself enough to get help, but I loved my family enough to get the help.
Right. Right. Well, that's good. At
Yeah.
least you had that. And that's, I tell people all the time, I say, your why has to be bigger than you. Like, my why was so big, because that was my daughter. That was my why.
That was
It
my why.
had to be bigger than me, because I wouldn't have done it for me.
Yeah, there was no way. There was no way. If I was the only reason why I needed to ask for help, it would have never happened. If I
Right.
would have been alone, if I wouldn't have had the family, if I wouldn't have had that support system that I didn't realize I had at the time, but if I
Right.
wouldn't have had that support system behind me, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today.
Yeah. But God had another plan.
Of course he does. Divine timing.
So you talk a little bit, I kind of said that on purpose because you talked a little bit about your spiritual journey. So I'm curious to see how that played a part in your healing.
Yeah, so it actually kind of came after I had already been on meds and in therapy for well over a year, I would say. And just me personally, I've never been great at taking medication. Like, I'm horrible at it. I always forget. I just don't like to do it. Like, it's just
Yeah,
one
same
of
here.
those
I don't
things
like
where,
it.
yeah, I don't like it. So once I started to feel a little more balanced and I felt like I was getting somewhere, on my healing journey and getting some traction to, feeling like accepting of myself and, and all of that, I started looking for holistic alternatives to the meds.
Right.
And that led me to, like aromatherapy, which led me to yoga, which led me to the whole world of like online resources of coaches and just that whole rabbit hole that's available to us. And that's actually how I started my spiritual journey. And I say spiritual journey, but like God's always been in my life,
Yeah.
right? Like, I chose to have him in my life because I didn't grow up in an environment where that was prevalent. Like I was never baptized. We didn't go to church. Like it just, it wasn't a thing. Right. So when my husband and I got married, he was raised Catholic. You know, we wanted our children to be raised in the same thing. So I took the steps to get myself baptized. I converted to Catholic, you know, to his religion. Like I took all of those steps because it was important to me and I wanted that in my life. So there's always been an element of, you know, divineness in my life through my faith that God was there, even though I didn't grow up in it. It was a choice that I made. So when I say spiritual, I mean, you know, just more so like welcoming it back in, but also, you know, I believe in, you know, the law of the universe. And I believe that, you know, we can co-create our life with God, universe, whatever term you resonate with and you believe in.
Right.
You know, so it was, but I also like, I love journaling and I love crystals and I like the moon, like all of that became a part of my life. And I use it all in conjunction with my faith and my belief in God, because, and this will be controversial with some, but I believe that for me in my life, on my path, I can have both. They can mix together and they can co-create, and I can use whatever works for me
exactly in my
life to help me, you know, heal. So that's my definition and how spirituality shows up in my life.
And I definitely agree with that. And you know, a lot of books, I don't know if you read Dr. Joe Dispenza, I've talked about him a couple of times on this show, but he taught, if you read some of the things that he says, like it's when they marry the science to the theology part and you look at how similar everything is, that's why I say the same thing where I'm like, well, you know, you can believe what you want to believe, right? Like I share the story of why I believe what I believe, but then I tell people like, hey, I'm just providing tools. You got to figure out how you want to use them, right?
Yeah, because what works for me may not work for you. Like you can take a little bit of what you share, what I share, what, you know, Joe shares, and you put it all together and you find the avenue that works for you. Yeah. Because if you don't, if you try to do something the way somebody specifically tells you to, and it doesn't feel good, you're not going to stick with it. You're not going to do it.
Right.
It's not going to help you. It's going to become another thing on your to-do list. And you're going to be like, screw that. I ain't doing it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it has to be something that you can do habitually, right? Like, and I tell people like, and I'm sure you can say this too, like the healing journey never stops, right? Like if I, and I have done this where if I stop what works, and I've done it before, like actually just last year, if I stop what works, even for just a little bit of time, I will completely unravel. Bless you. I think you just sneezed, but I will completely unravel. And so I have to make sure that I consistently am showing up, and not for everyone else necessarily, but showing up for me.
100%. Yeah. So I was dubbed the ritual queen by one of my, like my first coach, and it just became this whole thing. But,
that's awesome.
So I have like this, I have this little daily ritual that really becoming, you know, a vital part of my healing journey. And, you know, I did it for quite some time. And then, you know, things happen and you slip and you stop doing them.
Exactly. Like
you
said,
you abandon what works for you. And I did, but I kind of went into it with, I feel great, right? Like I don't need to do this every, I feel fine. I'm good. I'm great. I'm happy. Life is balanced. I feel fantastic. And,
you know, until, and
I'm like, right. I'm like, it's okay if I don't do it tomorrow, because I got some other things to do. I'll just skip it. And then skipping it one day turns into a week, turns into 3 months, and then you're like, oh my God, I'm drowning.
Yes. Yes.
So I've absolutely learned that, you know, the little things that you find that you do for yourself that actually work, whatever ritual you have that keeps you sane and focused and grounded, like if you abandon it, it happens. I get it. Right. But once you become aware that it's actually hurting you, like please get back to it. Like get yourself back. It's okay that it's gone by the wayside because that's just life. We're human. These things
Exactly.
happen. But just have the awareness around it and around yourself to know that when you need to bring it back into your life.
Yeah, I completely agree with that 1,000%, 10,000%. And one of the things too is, I tell people pleasing, now that I know what I know, I can say this, is an addiction,
It is.
right? So we are trying to break an addiction that we've been doing our whole lives. That
Yep.
is not going to be easy, right? It's just like, it's not any different. It looks a little bit different, but it's not any different than someone trying to break a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction or whatever addiction. It's
Yeah.
still an addiction. An addiction is addiction. So it's funny because now I can actually say, like, hey, my name is Jody Watkins. I'm an addict,
Yeah, right.
because we have this addictive behavior that we learned over time, and especially if we learned it in childhood, now we operate our entire lives just like that.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be easy to break. And if we stop doing it, like you were saying, if we stop doing it, guess what? We're going to revert back to that addiction.
You slide when you when you stop practicing the new behaviors that you've taught yourself, then you're going to revert back to your old habits and your old patterns.
Exactly.
And one thing, it's funny because when you say about it being an addiction, it took me a while to realize that that's what it was. But
Me
I
too.
finally did, right? Like I'm recovering. Hi,
Who
Teresa, recovering.
wants to admit that, right? Like, wait, what?
I realized that I always thought that I was doing the people pleasing to make other people happy.
Right.
And then I realized that the people pleasing isn't for others. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it as a comfort mechanism for yourself. And it's not really about others, it's about you.
Right.
And
Right.
it's about what you fear. So you're using that as your coping mechanism.
That is so good. That is so true.
Yeah.
That is very true. So now, and we can never say that we're like, I think I said this earlier to someone. I was like, I'm kind of graduating through my healing journey, but I'm never going to be done. Like, so now
Yeah, it never ends. It's a
that you're
lifelong
kind
journey.
of graduating through, how is this allowing you to now not only show up for yourself better, but also show up for other people better?
It's kind of become super important to me to share my story and my journey because when I was going through it, of course, a lot of mine was before the world of the internet being so
Right.
readily available. And I felt so lost and alone. And now, thankfully, there's all of these resources available to people with the touch of a button, but
Right.
it also can be very hindering to have so much
Yes.
information available to you at the touch of a button because it can be very damaging to someone's soul to get online and to see all these happy, organized, well put together people with these fantastic lives. So
Comparisons.
yeah, comparison
Yeah.
is the thief of joy, but anyway.
I talk about that in my book too, because I mean, that was, yeah.
Yeah. It does. So one of the big things like that I had to do was I had to learn that it's okay to like unfollow people that make you feel bad about yourself.
Yes.
So that was really important. But so it's really just become like super important and like a mission of mine to just reach out and let people know they're not alone. Because even though you
Yeah.
have all of these resources and things available to you can still feel lost and alone if you don't know how to navigate it, or you're paying attention to the wrong people, or you're thinking that you have to like, be this picture of perfection, which doesn't exist, but feel
Yeah.
like you have to be this picture of perfection in order to, feel like you're okay or that you have your life together. So it's okay to be messy. It's
Right.
okay to show up, just as yourself. And if you're a hot mess, that's great. I mean, you could still love yourself and be a hot mess. The
Exactly.
two can go hand in hand. So
Yes.
yeah, so just trying to like get my message out there and just get the point across to other people that you might feel like you're a disaster and you're alone, but you still deserve to love yourself. And
Yeah.
as you slowly build up that love, then you can stop seeking the validation from outside sources and, you know, have a day where you look like a hot mess, but know that it's okay because you love yourself and tomorrow will probably be better.
Exactly. Exactly. That is so good. Teresa, I hate that we have to start wrapping this up, but I want to make sure that we talk about, okay, so what are, you know, how are you kind of getting that message out now and how can people connect with you?
Yeah. So, so I wrote a book. It's the story of my life, but it's a self-help book. So, you know, it's a memoir combined with self-help tools. So I kind of just, I go through my entire journey and everything that I've gone through. And then I give you all the tools and the resources that I use to get through all the different aspects of it. So that's when it's on. It's called Uncensored, A Guide to Putting on Your Big Girl Panties.
I like that, Uncensored. I like that title.
And then I have a website that's full of free resources. It's theritualqueen.com. And you can find me on all the different social medias at The Ritual Queen. Pretty easy.
Awesome. So I love how, so you said one of your coaches tagged you, you know, as The Ritual Queen. So you just basically took that on and was like, you know what? I'm just going to own that.
Yeah. I 100% owned it because she first said we were in a thing and I was telling her all the things I do. And she's like, oh my God, you're like a queen of rituals. And I was like, oh my God, I am. I'm a queen. I own that. Yes.
Yes. That is awesome. That is so awesome. Well, I am just grateful. I'm grateful for you.
Thank
because
you.
That it takes, I know how difficult that process is. I know how difficult that journey is from going from you don't want to, you know, say something incorrectly and you're people pleasing and you don't have the self-love and the self-confidence and all those things. And going from that to the other side.
Yeah.
Where it's like now you do love yourself and it's daily effort, you guys. I say this on, I think on every show, like if you think you're going to come into this without having to do any work, think again.
Right. And if you think that once you do the work, you're never going to have shit come up and make you doubt yourself, you're wrong. It's
exactly.
On. You are still exactly. Going to have bad days. It's not all rainbow and unicorns.
Yeah, so exactly.
Accept that going in and it'll be much easier. You'll have more grace for yourself going through it.
For sure. For sure. I have a good friend. She was actually on a previous show. And one of the things that we talked about was, you know, there's no destination to this. It's a constant journey. So we have to just embrace the journey.
Yes. All the good and bad.
Exactly. Well, what is a final thought? I know I always catch people off guard with this, but I'm going to ask you anyway, and you can take a moment if you need to. What is like a final thought for those of it? Because there's thousands of people out there, hundreds of thousands probably, who are literally where we have been, right? Yes. Where we were. What is something that you would say to them to just encourage them to start this journey?
So if I could, I will just read a little quote thing that I put in my book because
yeah,
I
go for it.
Be relevant.
Yes.
Find yourself. You have to love yourself. To love yourself, you have to know your worth. To know your worth, you have to find validation within. And to find validation within, you have to stop listening to outside sources.
Mm. That's good. I got chills when you read that.
Thank you.
We have to, that's what I tell people, it's from the inside. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been such an honor.
Definitely. Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I've definitely enjoyed listening to your story. I hope and pray that it hits the right people out there. And you guys look, like she was saying, and like we've been saying, you're not alone. So please don't ever think that you are. And if you're in that space where we've been, where you're just, you want to kind of take yourself out and you think that's going to numb the pain. If anything, just remember who you would leave behind. Because that's what stopped me.
Yeah, me too.
And hopefully that's what stopped you, right? So it's, think about that. Because even if you feel alone, I guarantee you there's someone who loves you.
Yes.
And you have the potential to create something that can literally save lives one day. You couldn't have told me 5 years ago that I would be able to do what I'm doing today.
Oh,
That I would
no.
be on this mission, right? Like,
Well, do
that
you
I would be
agree?
like on this mission to save lives, that I'd have a podcast, that I'd be bringing guests on. Like, you could not have told me that during that time where I literally just wanted to give up. You couldn't have told me that. I would not have believed you.
Right.
It's
Yeah,
crazy.
my goal was to get out of bed. So,
It,
to be where I am today, back then it
yes.
would have just there's no way I would have believed it.
Yeah. So I wanted to make sure that I pointed that out, because if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're in that space where we've been, where we don't want to get out of bed, we don't want to face the world, we don't want to do anything, if you're in that space, listen, there is something greater on the other side. Do not quit on the 1 yard line. I've been saying that for the last few days. Do not quit on the 1 yard line, because if you stay the course, and I can say this now because I'm seeing it in my own life, and Teresa, it sounds like you are too, the blessings will come, but you have to wait for it, and you have to have that faith, and you have to have that patience, and just know that you're not alone. If you're in that space, please reach out to someone. You got two people here that would love to hear from you. I've had guests in the past that we've said the same thing. So please, I can't say this enough. Hopefully you can feel the passion in my voice, because this is so real. It's so real. And there's so much life left for you. I don't ever want to see anyone have to feel like they have to give up, because there's so much more. So, Teresa, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Jody, so much.
Definitely. And you guys, this has been another episode of Breaking Barriers Now. These shows do not disappoint. I often don't even know, the potential that the show is going to have. But that faith muscle is huge. And I just keep that faith. And so, yes, if you're out there, please stay the course. Continue to have that faith. I'm your host, Jody Watkins. I'm definitely doing as much as I can, even on my bad days, to try to inspire others and encourage others. And I'm sure Teresa's doing the same. And you guys link up with her. Make sure you support her. Go get her book. And let's just continue this journey together, because we're all in it together. So God bless you, and thank you so much for tuning in today.